And we're back. Good morning. My name is Nick. You're listening to A Certain Degree. I am here with you every Wednesday from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the 9 o'clock hour right now. And I have a very special guest. Clarissa Howard is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
How are you?
I am fantastic. Happy to be here with you today.
I'm so happy you're here. Clarissa is the director of the communications department over at the City of Winter Park and also serving as the project manager for a very important project, the Park Avenue Refresh. And that's going on. That started last night.
Yes, it did. We started January 20th, as promised, and we started last night at the corner of Swoop and Park Avenue.
And so there's so much detail about this. We wrote about it in the community paper, and I appreciate your time today and then taking the time to talk to me for that story. But this is a big project, a three-year project. Phase one is happening now. You're going to do it in pieces so that the vendors, the retailers, the businesses, the organizations along Park Avenue aren't affected during the busy season. Yeah. So you're starting now in January. You're going to get a portion of it done. Talk about what the first phase is for the City of Winter Park and Park Ave and who's going to be affected.
Yes, wonderful. Well, thank you for that introduction. You did great on that. You covered very much mostly everything in the start. But yes, this project is, like you said, a very important project for Winter Park. As you know, Park Avenue is the crown jewel of our city. And Mayor DeCiccio had said at one time that we are not renovating Park Avenue. What we are doing is we're polishing our gem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 30 years, Nick, since we have actually done a lot of work on Park Avenue. Back in 1996 and 1999 was when Park Avenue was bricked. And for those that enjoy the avenue, it feels like it's been bricked, you know, forever.
Right.
But in the late 90s, that was a huge streetscape project that made Park Avenue the economic driver that it is today for Winter Park. And in 30 years, a lot happens to infrastructure. A lot changes in technology. A lot changes in the needs of the avenue and the businesses. And so if, as a city, we don't address those changes, then we will become defunct.
Mm-hmm.
And Park Avenue is a destination, not just for shopping and dining, but it's a place where college kids come to take their Instagram photos. It's where high school kids take their prom photos. It's where our families come to enjoy the parks. And so it's extremely important for the city to have made this investment into the refreshing of the avenue.
One thing you mentioned to me was that, and again, it's polishing
yes.
the gem, right? And one thing you mentioned to me is that you did a lot of walking
yes.
Up and down Park Avenue during part of this process. And, you know, the general person who might even walk the entire length of Park Avenue, what we're talking about is, you know, the part around where the retailers are, where Central Park is, mm-hmm. Morris Museum, all of those areas, is that you may not, unless you're really looking for it, you may not notice all the trash cans that are different or all the light posts that, you know, are a little bit different and some of them have zip-tied signs to them, something that's missing. You know, thinking back to 99, none of these pieces and parts had Wi-Fi, so you're strapping Wi-Fi components that may not be weatherproof to them. So one of the items I thought that was really interesting is 110 different light posts.
Yes.
All with different custom made for yes. Park Avenue. So consistency all along the drive. And then you're going to have all sorts of different components. You got to have water in there. You got to have Wi-Fi in there. You got to have electricity in there. I thought that was really fun to think about these poles as almost their own little buildings.
You're absolutely right about that. The light poles and, as you said, as a person who frequents the avenue or comes every now and then, you're not looking at those things. You don't see the inconsistencies of those trash cans or recycle bins. You don't actually look up to look at what's strapped onto the top of the light pole. And those are the things that the city needs to look at because it's, you know, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes or breaks an area as a destination. And so 30 years ago, we didn't have Wi-Fi like we have now and how we depend on it today. And we will depend on it even more so in 30 years. And each of those light poles are Sternberg light poles, and they were installed back in 1996, 1999. So they're 30 years old, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've tried to adapt those light poles to meet today's needs And that's why if you actually look up, you'll see white boxes that are routers that are strapped to them with silver brackets.
Yeah.
And that's just not, that's not the look and feel we want for the avenues. So we spent a lot of time, the project team that's made up of all of our city departments, electric utility included, parks and recreation, water, wastewater, just all the big departments to see what was needed and how we can enhance the experience and the needs of the avenue. And then we have a great project team of consultants. We have Stringfellow Planning Design Group. We have Ovation Construction. And we have a lot of subcontractors that are working to make the avenue a better experience. But those poles are custom, where they do have to accommodate to irrigate those beautiful hanging baskets that we have. And then it also will have Wi-Fi routers, antennas, speakers, cameras, banners, wreaths, and, of course, a light. And so that's a lot to ask for from a light pole, but each of the light poles that we will be installing as Park Avenue for the project has all of those capabilities, but not every pole will have all of those assets. So we'll be able to strategically place these items where needed throughout the avenue.
And if I remember correctly, they're also designed for, is it dark light? Is that what it's called?
Dark sky, dark light.
That wouldn't be very effective.
Yes. And one of the things and one of the reasons why we are actually doing the Park Avenue refresh is that concerns were shared with our elected officials about some of the lights in the northern part, specifically of Park Avenue, that were strobing or that were not on. And so a lot of this project and the investment we're making is actually going towards infrastructure. And so there's conduits that are going to be pulled underground and then will pop out back up above ground into each of the poles. And we'll be pulling in new electrical, new irrigation, new fiber, and new low voltage lines underground to serve each of the poles. And so that's really important because that'll keep the lights from being reliable. And the dark sky feature that you had spoke about. So that actually, if you look at the lights now, they're an acorn light with glass all around them. So the glass emits upwards and outwards. Where dark sky fixtures are actually, they have a top to it. There's no glass, but the light will cast downwards to where it's important to our pedestrians and our vehicular traffic.
Right.
So safety is a huge element that we worked with our police department in and also our electric department on how can we make the avenue and keep it safe for all of our guests that visit. And so that light will emit downwards to where it's important.
We're talking a lot about the light poles because I think that's one of the visible elements that's going to be changed. There's also going to be consistency in the planters, the trash cans. But one of the safety features that I thought was really important that is being added are to the intersections with the, I believe they're called bump outs, is that what it's called? And then the bollards in sections. So I've been noticing as intersections get done in and around Orlando and Winter Park that these bump outs are becoming much more common. They are, what I love about them as a pedestrian is like it's much more evident where the person is walking for the vehicle. As someone in a vehicle, I'm often like, oh, okay, I have to be a lot more conscious about this right turn that I'm taking because now there's it's much closer to where I used to turn and maybe could cut it off a little bit. So I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yes, we did. As you said, we've done many walks. Stephanie, who's with us today, also we walked the avenue with not just us, but then also all the different departments and specifically our police department and our police chief, Tim Volkerson. And he was looking at our intersections that are wide enough and large enough for vehicles. You know, God forbid that some tragedy that's happened around the country. We want to prevent that from happening in Winter Park. So we're very forward thinking on this, where he had asked to consider placing safety features such as bollards and planters in areas that were too wide, where we could restrict vehicles from jumping the ramp and then going into a large area of public gathering. And so we are adding new planters that will be at the intersections, but then also sprinkled throughout the avenue, but they serve a dual purpose. So the inside of the planter will be filled with rebar and concrete. But then the tops of the planters is where you'll see the beautiful, colorful landscaping. And so aesthetically, they'll be much more pleasing to see, but they also serve that important, more important function of safety. Mm-hmm. So at strategic locations, at intersections and other places on the avenue, we'll have a combination of the planters and bollards, just planters. But you'll see those addition of these elements into the Park Avenue refresh to make sure that our avenue is safe.
One thing that I keep coming back to in my head as you're going to do some, you're going to find treasure, right? As you're digging through some of this underground, you're going to find old stuff, but specifically in the, it's not going to be good treasure, but specifically in the tree wells, right? Because you're cleaning all those out, you're putting in new trees and making sure that they're planted in such a way that the roots don't come up and mess up the sidewalk and things of that nature. So that was one of the things that was started last night, right? Was the air welling? What is it called?
It's actually called air spading.
Air spading.
Yes. And there are, I don't even know the number, but a number of tree wells along the avenue, and they're inconsistent. So one of the biggest things that we talked about earlier was the consistency of the avenue. Mm-hmm. Some tree wells have rocks, some have rocks and grates, some have this spongy organic material, some have plants, some have nothing. And what's happening in those tree wells is that the roots are growing, and some specifically like on the corner of Garfield and Park Avenue, there's a large planter there. It's a raised planter, and there's a beautiful oak that's lived there for decades now. And his roots are growing, and they're growing too large for the planter. So the planter bed's actually breaking. You can see that break in the brick. And so we're addressing that specific tree in that planter by making that planter larger. And that's where one of the bump outs that you had mentioned is mm-hmm. also occurring. So it's right there on the corner of Garfield behind the main stage and allowing more space for that tree to grow. And so we did start last night, and Biological Tree Services is one of our contractors that's working on that, that cares about the tree. And I was watching them meticulously taking the material from the tree roots, and then got a very good education on roots and what are good roots and what are bad roots. And so, and then he aerated the soil, put some friendly fertilizer there to help the tree. So this air spading process does involve compressed air, mm-hmm. and then it's blowing some of the material from the roots of the trees. And it's actually then putting in healthy soil that'll help that tree moving forward. So we started at Swoop last night. He'll go from Swoop and then head south to Garfield, then Garfield back north, up back up to on the avenue, back to Swoop. And so that'll be a two-week process. And it's a lot of manual labor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy work. But the care that they take in making sure the tree remains healthy while they're doing this process is pretty impressive.
So, but no treasure so far digging in that. Like, I'm just keep thinking like it's an archaeological dig almost Winter Park.
No, we didn't find any treasures. We did find some rope okay. that was in the tree well. When the tree was planted and lowered, it used some ropes and some wire baskets. So we did find some of that, but I wouldn't necessarily call that treasures.
Okay. I'll keep my fingers crossed at some point. Let's talk about, so this isn't, you're not closing down Park Avenue and trying to do all of this at once, right?
That's correct.
So it's three phases, starting with the north end and sort of the slower end of Park Avenue, I'll call it.
Yes.
And so you mentioned going down one end and then coming back up, and that's what I think is going to be done for the entire project, each phase as well. And what I loved about talking to you about this is that, you know, this is a learning process. So if you figure out something about the conduit or something else while you're doing phase one, that might make phase two go faster or phase three go faster.
Yes, exactly. And we were strategic in where we wanted to start, knowing that the south end was extremely busy, not only with all of the restaurants and businesses that are on the south end, but also 426, mm-hmm. you know, the state road. And so we did want to start in the north. And like you said, this we'll learn things about the avenue. Now, I know there's a lot underground, too. So when we're pulling that conduit underground, we're it's not a vacant underground space. There's a lot of utilities down there. And we've done a lot of work this past year. This project was assigned to us back in September of 2024. And since then, we've been planning and exploring and doing surveys and subterranean underground explorations, mm-hmm. soft digs, geotechnical soil samples to see what's under there before we start digging. There's a lot of infrastructure, water mains, other conduits that exist. And so it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a process, but, you know, we've planned as we're making the plans as we go along, and we have good civil drawings that are in place. But I do expect, you know, to encounter some treasures, like you said, that we maybe didn't see in any of the surveys, mm-hmm. and then adjust from there. But it is construction. It is construction, Nick. So this is not going to be clean. We're trying to be as clean as possible. Construction activity is disruptive. But we are not closing Park Avenue completely. We are only going to be closing the right-of-way, the parking spaces along that right-of-way, and then one lane, one block at a time. Mm-hmm. And that will move. As we finish in that block, then we'll move to the next block. And so there will be some disruption in some of the vehicular traffic. We will keep the pedestrian traffic accessible to each of the businesses, so all the businesses will still remain open, but there will be some construction activity one block at a time just next to where the pedestrians are walking along the right-of-way.
Another component to this that I feel is going to be a huge part of the success of this program is that you were assigned as the project manager, and you're also the director of communications for the city. So I feel like you had a perspective of you need to go and talk to every business, not only right on Park Avenue, but the ones just off of it, and make sure they understood, make sure you heard their concerns, and that was all part of the planning process as well. Can you speak to what that process was like?
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. It is a new world for me right now. I am not a construction girl by no means, but
now you are.
Well, I'm getting there. But I do know how important it is to communicate. And I've been working with the city for 22 years. I know our residents, I know our businesses, and I know the expectations and the level of service that we need to continue to provide. And doing construction on Park Avenue is a huge project that if people don't know about, then it creates anger and frustration. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we want. And so we are using all the tools that we have here at the city, in addition to word of mouth. I mean, I don't care how advanced technology gets. You cannot replace face-to-face, word of mouth, talking with people to help them understand. Throughout the entire time of planning, Stephanie, who's our events and marketing coordinator, she's also the communications lead for this as well. And so the two of us are going to meetings. We're meeting with the Park Avenue District and talking to merchants. Her and I are walking the avenue. We just went last week and handed off cards with QR codes to our website. And so we want to make sure that people know so they can plan. Mm-hmm. We have a schedule of events that happen every year. We have runs, you know, from Track Shack that are happening on Park Avenue. We have events in the park, and so we need to know, you know, what those events are. We have a good list of those, so we know not to have construction activity during that time. But the community needs to know what's happening as well. And so without communication, the project also fails. So having a communications director leading the project helps in amplifying mm-hmm. the message of we're working on the avenue, and this is what the project involves.
No, that's fantastic. One last thing, if there's anything else you want to add, feel free. But I did want to, it just occurred to me that when you close down like a stadium in the sports world, like you can buy the seats and stuff. So are you going to be selling any of the old lampposts to raise money? Like somebody might want that. Oh, I got engaged next to that lamppost.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thought, Nick. Right now, I know we are, there are actually, there's little dedications on some of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was through a program through Keep Winter Park Beautiful back in the 1990s. So we are preserving those dedication little plaques.
Oh, that's nice.
and we're trying to find a way in how to preserve those and display those.
Yeah.
We will reuse some of the lamps, so we're definitely not going to be wasteful
in
the infrastructure that we have. So the ones that are still usable and functional, those will be used throughout the rest of the city.
They might be collector's items.
It might be
30 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And so But our slogan is we're fluffing our feathers. Mm-hmm. Something beautiful is coming. So although the construction activity may be disturbing and inconvenient, it is for the betterment of Park Avenue, for Winter Park, the businesses, merchants, not just today, but truly 30 to 50 years from now. So that's why the investment's being made into Park Avenue today.
Amazing. And so construction started last night. You'll see it for the better part of the year.
Yes.
Right? On the north end of Park Avenue, but then shutting down, as I mentioned earlier, for the for a lot of the big events and obviously the Christmas shopping season. You don't necessarily want to have it going on then.
Yeah, we should be finished by the fall.
Yep.
So that way we'll be clear for the holiday season again and then starting up for phase two in January.
This time next year. Yep. We'll have you back on for that.
I look forward to it.
All right. Clarissa, thank you so much. If you need to find out or you have any questions about that, what's the website or the email address or other contact info?
It's cityofwinterpark.org/parkavrefresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then the email is parkavrefresh@cityofwinterpark.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today.